celebrate it with those disciples, as he had already lined up, as many scholars and theologians believe, had it already lined up because he sent those men to make preparation. He told them where to go and who to meet and all that. But the thing about it is, Jesus recognized the seriousness of the Passover at that point in time because he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament Levitical system, which dealt with the aspect of sin. No longer, when Jesus died on the cross, no longer is there going to be a covering for sin or a process for the covering of sin. But Jesus, the Bible tells us that he's going to take away our sin, nailing it to the cross. And therefore, as Jesus celebrated the Passover, which we'll be doing in a little bit later in the service, that he made known to those followers, his followers, that the fulfillment of the Passover had now come, and the reality of life and living as we portray the Lord's Supper, which we call the Lord's Supper, or communion, that it says something to our heart. So would you stand before the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer? In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, I want to begin in verse 23, if I may. 1 Corinthians, 11th chapter, verse 23. He says, "For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of the bread and drink of the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are in debt. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Let's pray together. Our Father, as we bow before you tonight, we come with grateful hearts, grateful for the privilege we have, Lord, just to come and to assemble ourselves in this place of worship at the appointed time of worship. And Lord, I pray that we are here for that purpose and that purpose only, and that is to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, to listen and to hear from you what you would say to us. I pray that our hearts are open, our minds are attentive to your word and to your will and to the work you would have us to be involved in. I pray, Father, tonight that as we come together, that you'd help us to recognize and understand the significance and the meaning of what we call communion or the Lord's Supper. I pray, Father, tonight that as we join together, we recognize that it is a joint effort of a church and by a church for the church. And I pray, God, tonight that you'd just be with us in a special way. I pray, Lord, and reminded of those that are less fortunate, those that would desire and want to be here but cannot because of problems and adversities in their life and things that are going on. I pray, Lord, tonight for Brother I.B. He desired and wanted to be here this morning and tonight, but because of the problem he's having, Lord, he could not come. We just pray and we lift him up now before you and ask you, Lord, to touch him and do a work of grace in his life and just heal his body. Lord, we come also on behalf of others that have been mentioned tonight in the prayer rooms and prayer groups. We pray, God, that you would work in the circumstances of their life as only you can. You know each one. You know each need. You know each problem. You know each solution, God, because you have the answer. And Father, tonight as we come, I pray once again that Lord, that you would anoint these lips with the Spirit, and God, that you would speak through them the truth of your word, that we each and every one may be drawn closer to you and to each other in that bond of perfect love, that love that casteth out fear, that love that constrains us and conditions us to be everything that you'd have us to be. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd just do that which only you can. And even now, as an act of faith on our part, we're going to covenant together, heart to heart, thanking you and praising you in Jesus' strong and powerful and saving name. And for his glory alone, amen. As we look at portraits, and many times as we look at portraits and pictures, they say something to us if we know the individual or related to the individual. And the thing about it is, as we reminisce and remember, and this is what Jesus said, he says, do this in remembrance of me till he comes again. And this is what the writer of Corinthians, Paul is talking about here. And this is after, of course, we know years after Jesus had already died. But the thing about it is, as they celebrated and commemorated the Lord's Supper, we ourselves need to recognize and understand the real significance of it as we draw from that. First of all, we see that this picture of the gospel seen in communion is a picture word or word picture of explanation. An ordinary message, an ordinary sermon, or just the things that Jesus said had significance and meaning to those followers after his death, because they, like we so many times, they did not really understand what Jesus was saying about. They did not really comprehend what Jesus was all about until after his death and after his burial and resurrection. But then they studied and they pondered and they thought about those events in his life as he explained to them the truth and the reality of the meaning of the gospel of the good news. So an ordinance is a ceremony the Lord commanded his church to observe in what we call this dispensation of grace. And thank God we're in the dispensation of grace, in which the gospel is pictured metaphorically. In baptism, let's look for just a moment as we see the explanation. In baptism, we see Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is pictured, as well as our own death to sin and self, and the resurrection, as Paul says, to walk in a newness of life. That's what baptism symbolizes, where we die to the old nature, we die to the old man, we die and we're planted in that watery grave, and then we're raised out of that watery grave, which represents the resurrection, and we're raised to walk in a newness of life. And when we think about the newness of life, we understand that this means that our life now has been changed, our life has been transformed because of the work of God in our life in salvation. But then we talk about the Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper, as those articles are before us, we see in it Christ's broken body and his shed blood as a picture of the taking of the bread and the cup. They are given to us as a picture in order for us to remember him and to examine our own lives before him. When we look at those articles, the bread as it represents his body, and it says it was broken as they broke the bread. But his body was not broken from a standpoint of physical breaking, but his spirit, his whole motive, selfish, I guess we could say, motive, was surrendered to the will of the Father. That's what it means, broken of the will and given to the Father. That's exactly why he came, and he surrendered that. But not only that, we also see the significance of the blood, the explanation of that. The blood which was shed, and we sung those songs a while ago, all about the blood. Let me tell you something. I believe, and I still believe, and I'll continue to believe, that we must recognize and understand that the only solution to the problem of the world today is the application of the blood of Jesus Christ on sinful, fallen man today. When we think about that, and we have so many churches, so many denominations that are taking the blood out of their preaching. They've already took it out of their hymn books because they say it's gory, it's detestable, and they've removed it from it because they want to live in the light of this good feeling and leave out those kind of things. But let me tell you something. When you take the blood out of the gospel, you have took the heart out of the message of the gospel, because There's nothing, the Bible says, we sang that song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. That is exactly what it's all about. That's what John said in 1 John 1:9, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And John talks about the application of the blood in the life of those who have trusted him as a continual process of cleansing. So we see that this is a picture word of explanation, verse 23, where he said this, as we look back at that, he says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. He took bread for a purpose, and that was an explanation as he explained that to them. And then also there's a word of exaltation. In verse 24 and 25 it says this, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That comes directly out of Matthew 26 and verse 26. I believe we'll be looking back there in a little bit. But what he was saying there, Jesus recognized and understood the significance of letting them know, helping them to understand that there is an exaltation. The scripture says, when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. How prophetic that is. No one took his life from him. No one took his life from him. He laid it down. He gave it freely. He gave it willingly so that you and I could have life. The cross, my friend, is no accident. It is something of a purpose, and Jesus died on the cross. He gave his life there. There's a song I love to sing. It left to hear it, and it's about he grew the tree that he knew would be one day would make an old rugged cross. He did it for a purpose, and that was so that you and I could know what it means to be free. We do not take the Lord's Supper to remind him, but we take the Lord's Supper to remember him. Thus we are a thankful people, full of praise and exaltation unto him for what he has accomplished for us. Go back and look at Psalms 103. I just ask you to go back and read something. Turn there just a moment. Psalm 103. He begins, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Did you catch that? Then he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? Are you there yet? Psalm 103. Benefits. Look at that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and thank God he's plenteous in mercy. Amen. We are to exalt him, and in the process of the communion and the significance of the communion, it is an exaltation, thanking him, praising him for what he's accomplished for us in giving himself as our sin sacrifice. But then there also, the third thing is a picture word of expectation. Look in verse 26. He says, for often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's what? Death till he come. The Lord's Supper is not just an acknowledgement of his physical absence, but it is an anticipation of his promise to return. That's what it says there. He says, as often as ye do this in remembrance of me. He says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he comes. Till he comes. We live in expectation as children of God. We live in expectation of him coming back to rapture us, snatch us out of the words that come out of the Greek, to snatch us away, to snatch us out of all this problem and all the things of this world. Because let me tell you something, folks, it is getting more and more godless every day that we live. And we as the people of God must recognize that there's a picture word of expectation of Him coming back till He comes, till He returns, till He returns. We live in expectation. We think about the expectation. I read the story of several years ago back in Second World War, where this family, their son was off in war, in the battle. And every time that they set the table to eat, they would set a place for him. They would set a plate. They would set the utensils to eat with. They would set a glass, and they had a picture of him there to remind them he was gone, but to remind them that he was still loved, that he was still missed, and they was looking for him to come home. And then when he got to come home, they put the pitcher on the mantles and he sat down and filled the plate and used the utensils to eat with. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference. Even though we think about an absent Lord, yet he is absent physically, but he is with us in the presence. And the reason they put the pitcher on the mantle, they didn't need the pitcher any longer to remind them of him, because he was there in person. And we come tonight to celebrate Jesus Christ and the person of Him, to give Himself for us and who gave Himself for us. Yes, it is a picture word of expectation. But then the last one, and that is a picture word of examination. Boy, this is one we don't like to talk about. Paul said in verse 28, look at it with me. He says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Why would Paul say that? If you go back and you read the whole story, you see that those, and this is one reason I said that a church today that would name a church Corinth, they must not be studying their scripture or Bible too well, because the church at Corinth was one of the most corrupt churches, one of the most problematic churches that Paul had and ministered to. But the thing about it was, if you go back and you study, you see that Paul was talking to them about them coming together, and they call this, commentators or theologians, they can kind of disagree on some of this, but they were coming together. They had what they call the love feast. A love feast meaning they come together and eat like we have a fellowship meal. But what it would be is, some of them, they would bring their T-bone steaks, and the others would bring a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and they didn't want to share their steak with somebody that had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, what it boils down to eventually. But Paul is reminding them, and it kind of got out of hand, and Paul is writing them, and that's why he said there in the last words there, he says, and the rest will I set in order when I come. In other words, when I come, I'm going to straighten this mess out. And I believe Paul could do that. But he was reminding them the word of examination. Let a man examine himself, because what Paul was saying, you're coming to this feast or this ingathering, and your heart is not right with your brother. Your heart is not right with your brother. And the Bible teaches us, if our heart is not right with our brother, then our heart is not right with our Lord as well. Did not John say that? How can you say you love God and don't love your brother? How can you justify that? There's no way to justify it. And Paul was reminding them, very cautiously reminding them, that they need to get things straightened out and get in order. They need to examine their own heart, the reason for it, the potential of that. And what Paul is saying here, he says, get it worked out. Examine yourself. The word examine, translated a Greek word, sukaleo or something like that. And it means like someone that went into a fabric store and they grabbed a piece of fabric and they pulled it and stretched it, tried to tear it, to really see how strong it was before they bought it and made a garment. That's the terminology here. Examine. Let's just look at it very closely. Examine it. Make known, you know, what's going on and what it is. If it'll stand the test before they purchase it. We should not come to the Lord's table without coming clean. Listen to me, coming clean before Him in our hearts and examining our lives before Him. Jesus says, remember me. Remember me. The Lord's Supper is Christ's own photo album. So it speaks for His family. those who are associated with Him. At His table, we remember what He has done for us on the cross. You think about it for just a moment. What He has accomplished for us on the cross. It means something to us as a member and a family member because it calls to memory how He knew no sin. He had no sin. But He became sin for us in order, as the Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And that's exactly what happened. God imputed, that term comes out of the Scripture, imputed means literally poured it upon us, made it available to us and poured it upon us. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, where He took our sin upon Himself and He gave His life for us. This is the Lord's table before us tonight. It's the Lord's table, not my table, not the church's table, the Lord's table. He invites you, and when you sit there, you begin to preach a sermon. When you come to His table, you preach a sermon. You preach a sermon about His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You preach the gospel message. He says you do proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. As we think about the situation of coming around the table of the Lord, as we gather around the table of the Lord, we need to look at this because as we think about portraits and pictures of our life and as a believer, we need to recognize that Jesus Christ has made possible for us to be joined in this fellowship. I thank God for that. I'm glad to be a part of this fellowship because in this fellowship I find strength. I find a common unity of love one for another. I find a knitting together of hearts and minds and doing the things that God would have us do. I pray that we can be more of what God would have us to be. As we come around this table, it's His table tonight, and we're going to preach a sermon about what Jesus did for us. Thank God for what He's done for us. Thank God for the sacrifice He made for us as He gave Himself so that you and I can know what it means to have eternal, everlasting life. Tonight, if you've never trusted Him, if you've never put your faith and trust in Him, you need to do that. If you're here tonight and you're out of sort with some brother, some whoever it may be, you need to get that right between you and God and then go to that person. You know, we miss a scripture in a passage where in Matthew's gospel where it says if we come and we bring our gift to the altar and there we have aught in our heart against a brother, we don't need to put it in the offering plate. We need to leave it there at the altar and go get ourselves right with our brother and then come offer our gift. So many times we do not understand what it means to be in a right relationship with God, to live in that right relationship with God. God, help us to examine our hearts tonight and to look to Him for what He can and will do in our hearts. Let's pray together. Lord, You said, remember me. We have it on the table. This do in remembrance of me. Tonight, Lord, as we come before this table, we come to preach a message about You, about Your love that You had for us, about Your vicarious death, that which was accomplished for another, Your death, Your burial, Your resurrection. And Lord, not only that, but You also make us aware that our lives are to be open vessels that You can take and use for Your glory, so that we truly not only preach here, but we can preach in the world in which we go and live. Help us to be obedient to You. Help us to follow You in every aspect of life and living. Lord, You know our hearts tonight. You know if there's one here that has never been saved, never trusted You as Lord and Savior. You know, Lord, if there's one here tonight that's out of sort with their brother, their sister, they're out of sort with You. And I pray, God, even now that You'd bring conviction so that there can be communion made. This is what it is. It's communion. Coming together because of the common bond we have in Jesus Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. Dear Lord, tonight, just do that which only You can. And even now, we'll thank You and praise You for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Hymn of invitation, hymn of commitment. If God has spoke to your heart tonight, you need to respond to Him. You need to be obedient to what He would have you to do, what He would ask you to do, whatever it may be. You be obedient. As we stand and sing,
page 135.
Jesus, the one who gave us all so that you and I can know and have eternal life. I ask you to be seated and the deacons come forward, please. Who's going to help me move the table? You want to move the table out? I said I would be referring to Matthew's Gospel in the 26th chapter. This is the Lord's Supper. As we come around His table tonight, we come to commemorate and to celebrate the Lord's Supper, where we see the representation of His blood that was shed for us, His body that was given for us, so that we could come to understand and to know God's will and purpose for us in salvation. See, God just didn't love us from heaven, but He sent a part of heaven here on earth, His very Son, so that we could know and understand the depth of His love. And that's why Jesus gave His life on the cross, so that you could know and understand and realize how much God loved you. So that night it says in chapter 26, starting in verse 21, verse 20 says, "Now when the even was come, He sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, He said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? And He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." They were celebrating the Passover at that time. "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of Him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed Him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" See, it was different with those others than Judas, because they said, "Lord, is it I?" But Judas said, "Master, is it I?" Let me tell you something. There's difference between Jesus being Lord and Jesus just being a teacher. That's what the term there means, teacher. Judas recognized Him as a great teacher, but the others recognized Him as Lord. And I've said it before, Dr. Adrian Ross says, either He's Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And then it says this, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it." Why did He say that? Drink ye all of it. Because we have a gospel going around today that says, all it takes is one drop of blood to cleanse my sin. But folks, it took every drop of Jesus' blood to cleanse your sin. There's songs that's wrote about it, but Jesus shed His blood. He shed his blood till he died so that you and I could know what it means to be saved. That's why all had to be given. Not a drop wasted. All had to be given. He says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So Jesus, as he instituted what is known as not only the Lord's Supper, but also the fulfillment of the Passover out of Exodus 12th chapter, where Jesus was that Paschal or Passover lamb, and he fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the Levitical system dealing with the sin debt and the sin problem of man. And Jesus gave us all so that you and I could know what it means to live in that new relationship before God. So we come tonight to celebrate this, and we do it in remembrance of Jesus who loved us and gave himself for it. As we come tonight, I ask the deacons to come forward. As we look at the bread, the unleavened bread, it's unleavened for a reason, meaning you cannot add anything to the gospel that will help the gospel or make it more appealing or appropriate. It's Jesus and him alone. Oh, I forgot to put those on. So as we bow our heads and join our hearts together, I pray that we've examined ourselves already. If you're not, you need to do it now. Examine yourself before God and the Holy Spirit. Let's thank him for the body that he gave, the blood that he shed, as he gave himself to be the sacrifice for our sin. Brother Ray, I'm going to ask you if you'll lead us as we thank him for the body.
Well, God, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings of life, Lord. We just thank you, God, for allowing us to be here today, Lord. And God, at this time of service, Lord, we take time, Lord, to remember, God, what you sacrificed on the cross for us, Lord. And God, we just thank you for it, Lord. We love you for it, God. And just forgive us, Lord, what we pray. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Okay.
Thank you.
Now as he took the bread, he prayed and blessed it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. He gave his life for us. He shed his blood for us. Ask the deacons to come at this time. Gave us blood. The juice comes from much, much, much pressure. Comes out of a strenuous ordeal. And Jesus gave his blood. It was not taken. He gave his blood so that you and I can know and have forgiveness of sin. Let's bow our heads and join our hearts as we thank him for the precious blood he shed for us. Brother Jim, would you please lead us?